I realized the other day that you should never take financial advice from people who take vaccines for the simple reason that they don't understand risk. And I find that people who blindly invest in the stock market, as we are obviously near the peak of this crazy, insane bubble, are the same kind of people who not only want to take lots of vaccines for themselves, including the COVID experimental vaccines, but they also want to push you to take vaccines. And yet they fail to see the risk in both their stock market decisions and their vaccine decisions. And some of these people are investment advisors or doctors or pharmacists or what have you, people who should know better, and yet they still don't. So what is it about these people that makes them blind to risk? And why are they so self-deluded into thinking that they alone have clarity on all of these issues? They will tell themselves, I believe in the science, you know, when it comes to vaccines. And if you ask them, okay, great, can you summarize the science on these vaccines? They will say, what? What are you talking about? And you're like, well, which studies have you read? That, or which clinical trials have you looked at that showed these vaccines to be safe for widespread distribution? And they can't name any because there are none. And so when they say they believe in the science, it's kind of like a stock market investor saying, I believe in the market. Well, that's great, but the market doesn't believe in you. The market does its own thing. The market will murder you if you're wrong, right? I mean, experienced investors know that if you have blind faith in the market and you think that just because you bought something, it's going to go up because you wish it will, you're going to get murdered by the market. Well, so the same thing can happen with vaccines. If you took a vaccine because you feel positive about it and you heard about it on TV and they were saying, oh, this is great, everybody should get it. And then very quietly, oh, but it's only approved as an experimental intervention that skipped the trials. Well, they don't even say that. But if they were being honest, at least they would say that. But people don't listen to that. They just say, this is great, let's take it. And then if they're wrong, they can end up getting murdered by it. Now, what investing in overinflated stocks has in common with taking unproven experimental vaccines is that the consensus tells you to do both of these things. You know, the fake voices of authority in the fake news media, the fake authority institutions like the CDC and the WHO, they always have these kinds of messages for you. Oh, trust us. We've never lied to you before. Invest in the stock market. It will always go up. Or take the vaccine. Nothing bad will happen to you. You will only have positive outcomes. And because this is pushed through media and also through social networks, you know, you'll hear it from your friends, you'll hear it from your coworkers and so on, because they're being pushed in this direction as well. A lot of people think that, well, gosh, if the herd is marching in that direction, they can't all be wrong. There must be a reason. It must be correct. I'm going to join the herd. Well, sometimes that herd is leaping off a cliff, which was how the Native Americans used to hunt for buffalo. They would just get a stampede going and direct them off a cliff, you know, and then they've got 50 dead buffalo and they can eat for a year. So sometimes the herd is wrong. In fact, much of the time, the herd is wrong. So following the herd, though, it's a mental shortcut that people take, especially when they want to conform socially to what's being put out there. And there's a word that describes people like this, and that word is gullible. And so everyone that you see right now who's throwing money at high-tech stocks, like buying Tesla stocks, it's going to go up 1,000 times, you know, or people who are taking this experimental COVID vaccine, these people are incredibly gullible, which means their judgment cannot be trusted in any area of their life. They have bad judgment. And extraordinarily, some of these people do both. You know, they're stock advisors or investment advisors, and they're taking the vaccine. Well, you should definitely not listen to that person because, again, they don't understand risk. So let's kind of delve into the risk a little bit more here. Now, let's start with the vaccine. So What's the best upside? Just think about this for a second. What's the best upside that the vaccine could give you? So if you're in decent health, your risk of dying from COVID is very close to zero with or without the vaccine, right? So let's say you have a 0.2% chance of dying from COVID if you get it. So the vaccine, the best possible upside is that it would reduce your risk of dying by, let's say, 0.2% or whatever that number happens to be for you. Now, of course, there are many other things you could do to avoid being killed by COVID. You could take vitamin D. That's probably the number one thing, just to boost your immune response. If you're a little bit overweight, you could reduce your body weight over time. That would also help as well, because obesity is a cofactor. You could maybe work to reduce your blood pressure and so on. There are lifestyle changes. But the vaccine can only give you an upside of about 0.2%. What's the downside for the vaccine? It might kill you, which is kind of the other 99.8%. You know what I mean? It's the inverse of the upside. It's a big downside because it could kill you. And when you're dead, that counts for 100%. You're totally dead. And this vaccine can do that. And it has been doing that. And various vaccines from different manufacturers are killing people in different ways. Now, you might say, well, gosh, there's been 100 million people vaccinated in America by now. It's actually not that high yet, but it's getting there. And, only maybe tens of thousands have died. But that's so far. That's not the limit to the downside. We may yet see many more deaths, especially upon secondary or second exposure to coronavirus strains in the wild, or when we have super strains or other strains that begin circulating and people don't have a strong immune system because they didn't have a natural innate immune response. They had a medical intervention that, in essence, impaired their immune system's active response. So people who got vaccinated might have a weaker response to future strains. Very likely they would. And people who get flu shots are more susceptible to future strains of influenza that are circulating in the wild. That's been scientifically documented. So we know that's the case. So the downside of getting the vaccine is that you might die. The upside is maybe a 0.2% improvement in your chances of living. But again, you could greatly improve your situation with nutrition and lifestyle changes and so on. So a rational person would look at this and say, okay, does this make sense? I'm going to gamble with my life. I'm going to play like vaccine Russian roulette with my entire life to try to get this little 0.2% upside. Now, you might argue for older people or people with other comorbidity factors, the upside might be larger than 0.2%. Maybe that person in that particular age group and who has certain cofactors, maybe that person has a 10% chance of dying from COVID if they get infected. Well, they could reduce that 10% to 2% just with vitamin D, according to the medical studies. So really, their real chance of dying from COVID is probably less than 2%, even if you think they're in the 10% group. So, and vitamin D won't kill you, it turns out. So why wouldn't you try less risky interventions first before you try one that might kill you? See, this is a very important principle of complementary and alternative medicine. And the best doctors working today who are alternative and complementary medicine doctors or naturopaths, they understand this equation very well, that if you're going to have an intervention with someone, try to make it less traumatic, try to have less risk of a catastrophic downside. You know, let's say someone comes to you and they have, you know, atherosclerosis, they've got clogged arteries because they've been living on processed meat and homogenized milk and what have you for 50 years, and their arteries are all clogged up. Well, a typical Western medicine surgeon or doctor would say, let's break open the sternum with a giant machine. Let's crack that rib cage. Let's get in there and let's you know, do open heart surgery. Or they might say, well, let's put a stent in there. And then the stent, you know, wears out over time or causes other problems, and they have to put another stent and so on. So it's still a pretty invasive thing to put a stent in there. But a naturopath would say, hey, why don't we get rid of the plaque through lifestyle changes? So here, if you take pycnogenol with an herb known as gotu kola, G-O-T-U-K-O-L-A, gotu kola, I think that's how it's spelled, guess what? It reduces plaque over time. And there are other ways to reduce plaque, like maybe you could go on a 30-day or a 60-day, you know, juice feasting fast, like raw vegan juices for a period of time. Just clean all that crap out of your system. Or just go on a water fast for a while. You know, guess what? Your body can heal. And you don't have to break open your sternum to do that. You don't have to cut out the heart and have a transplant or all these other crazy things that doctors want to do. So you go with the least risky intervention first. And when it comes to COVID, what are the least risky interventions? Well, obviously, it's vitamin D, it's zinc. You might even look at ivermectin if it's appropriate for you. You know, get professional help for that. I'm not saying to just self-diagnose and start chewing on ivermectin, but, you know, get some professional help. But why wouldn't you do these things first? I find it fascinating that when you talk to people who have been vaccinated and you ask them, hey, did you take vitamin D first? Usually the answer is no. So they skipped over the least risky solution, which, by the way, also helps prevent various types of cancer and tuberculosis and diabetes and you know, mental disorders and so on. They skipped that and they went right to the vaccine that has the highest risk of catastrophic bad things happening, such as you dying from a blood clot in the brain. Thank you, AstraZeneca. So these people are not rational, which once again brings up the question, why would you trust these people with financial advice of any kind when they don't understand risk analysis and they do risky things first instead of doing the least risky things? So think about this from a financial advisor point of view. Suppose you went to an investment advisor. And yes, you said, here, I have $1 million and I would like you to help me not lose this $1 million. That's the only goal. I just want to not lose this $1 million because these days that might be tough to do. And all you want is the return on your principal, which, by the way, technically you should move it out of dollars and get it into gold and silver, but that's a different podcast because dollars are losing value every day. But forget that. Suppose dollars are not eroding in terms of value because of all the money printing by the Federal Reserve. If your investment advisor said to you, hey, great, I'll take your $1 million and I'm going to go to the dog racing track and we're going to put it on Mr. Doggy over here called Super Fido, or like happy running Fido dog, we're going to put your $1 million on this dog. You might say, isn't that kind of a risky approach to preserving this capital? And your investment advisor says, well, everybody else is betting on Super Fido. And my friend said this was great. And I saw on the news, the media told me that this dog racing is a really great thing. So I'm going to go with it because it's socially acceptable. You should fire that financial advisor, right? Because they're a moron. But that's what a lot of financial advisors are doing by getting the vaccine. See, except they're gambling with their lives instead of with your $1 million. But take another investment advisor. And again, you have the same instructions, like, hey, don't lose this money. Do something that protects this money. And they turn around and say, I'm going to buy Tesla stock. It's all going into Tesla. Or, you know, Apple and Google and Amazon and everything, all the high-tech hyperinflated stocks. You should also have a little slight panic at that moment. It's like, whoa, how did I find this guy? This guy's nuts. And yes, he's probably vaccinated as well because he doesn't understand risk. See, what's the downside of investing in those tech stocks? The downside is that you could be buying into the peak of another dot-com bubble and you could lose 99% of your investment in certain companies when the crash comes, another dot-com crash. That's the downside. What's the upside? Well, we don't know exactly, But things are really hyperinflated right now in terms of stock valuations. And you can see that rationally by looking at the just something simple like the PE ratios, price to earnings ratios of these stocks. It's not hard to tell. They're overvalued and hyperinflated and overhyped and everything. So I don't know how much upside is out there, but it's probably not that much. You know, as I say, don't pick up nickels in front of a steamroller because you're going to get steamrolled. You know, you're trying to gain a little bit of additional profit by putting everything at risk where you might lose a big chunk of it, 50% or 70% or 95% for all you know. But a lot of people don't ever consider the downside. And you find this also in prepping, or I should say lack of prepping. So a lot of mainstream people, or normies as we call them, they like to mock preppers. Say, oh, you're so funny. Why are you storing food, man? Oh, you think you're going to need food. You're so funny. And they have no food in their pantry. They have no planning, no preparedness. They don't have backup radios, communications, satellite phones. They don't have any way to grow food. They just trust the system. These are the same people who get vaccinated and buy Tesla stock. So they mock you for being prepared. But if you were to ask them, well, what's the downside if the power grid goes down or the grocery stores are shut for 60 days or there's a global economic collapse or whatever? What's your downside? Because their downside is that they would starve to death. They don't think about that downside, though. They just think that everything's going to work out just fine because that's all they can remember. So they're not even able to imagine risk when it comes to food security. Now, what I find funny, especially odd, is that a lot of these people love to buy insurance policies on everything. They'll buy home insurance, car insurance, life insurance. And this is what they think is eliminating their risk. So while they're buying all this insurance, they're taking the vaccine shot. Good thing they have life insurance. They're investing in stocks, you know, overpriced stocks. They have no backup food supplies, so they're taking a massive starvation risk. So they're not really risk averse, but they tell themselves they are because they've given their money to a corporation that they hope will one day give them money back if things go horribly wrong. But they don't realize the systemic risk, or what's called counterparty risk. What if things go so horribly wrong that your insurance company can't make the payments to you, such as what would happen during a global economic collapse or a power grid failure or global warfare or whatever, a collapse of the dollar? Are your insurance companies going to be solvent? Probably not. So these people have put their money in vehicles that have enormous systemic risk, and yet they think that they've covered their risk or suppressed risk. So the bottom line in all this is that most people don't understand risk at all. And so they make bad decisions. And the number one telltale sign right now of people who make bad decisions is people who are getting the COVID-19 vaccine. It tells you they do not understand risk, they have poor judgment, and they are willing to put their lives at risk to get a very tiny benefit, even with unknown long-term negative consequences that in some ways they've probably never even pondered. Should you take advice from these people? No. What should you do with these people? I don't know. Get as far away as possible from these people because they're going to be bad for your health and for your survival. But thanks for listening. That's my special report on the subject of risk.